We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The competition is keen.
I don't know, fellas. I think there's potential in this crowd.
Every game counts.
We're going to put a game plan together and we're going to win.
That's why Dusty and Cam have poured countless hours of research into their pro football predictions.
It was fiercely fought, but frightfully flawed.
The Pro Football Challenge with Dusty and Cam. And Will's here too. Brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen online at warrenallen.com. The Pro Football Challenge on 1080.
Let's go find out if they're ready today.
The Fan.
A cheeseburger and went to bed.
That is 7-9 bull.
Can't wait.
Mr. Unlimited.
Nice job, you kicker.
No days off. No days off.
Playoffs.
All right, it is a conference championship weekend edition of our Pro Football Challenge brought to you by Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Sad that it's only two games, but super excited that it is these four teams. The Super Bowl will be set after this weekend, Mr. Cleland. AFC, NFC championship games. The action starts Sunday, 12:05 p.m. at frigid Lambeau Field. 32 degrees and a chance of snow for the noon kick. Green Bay, three-point favorites.
Well, where do we start with this?
Green Bay Packers.
Just 3 points, huh? 32, a little bit of snow, hoping for it. 32's not bad. That's a day game.
It's a day game. It's not that bad.
Yeah, 51.
51 points. So they're expecting like a 31-28 ball game.
If I could break it down as this, is Lambeau Field means a lot. I'm not going to deviate off my path of who I think. Since this playoff started, and if they got the number one seed, they will represent the NFC all the way through to the Super Bowl. I can't deviate off it because Aaron Rodgers is playing great. I like Tom Brady. I think it's a great story, and they got a lot of talent. But it might be just too much. It feels right for the pack. And so I'm going to stick with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers just for the sake of he knows how to win those games. But, boy, it would not be surprising at all if Tom Brady knocked him off. But I'm going to stay with the Packers on this one.
We think of revenge tours. We think about these big revenge games. Remember last year when the Green Bay Packers got handled by the San Francisco 49ers 37-20 in the conference championship game? That was after they got handled coming out of a bye week 37-8 by the San Francisco 49ers. This year, they come out of a bye week and they lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 38-10. But the difference is they'll be at home. And I think home field is going to be huge for this Green Bay Packers team. I like the fact that Aaron Rodgers is playing at a ridiculously high level. But their defensive line, they got to Jared Goff and frustrated Jared Goff last week. And they are running the football. They have a three-headed monster that has been clicking on all cylinders. I like the Green Bay Packers.
I got to say, one of my favorite quotes that came out of this past week was Aaron Rodgers being asked about his future career plans and calling his future a beautiful mystery.
That's such a Aaron Rodgers thing to say.
Relax.
The best Aaron Rodgers that you can get is a relaxed and confident Aaron Rodgers, and especially an Aaron Rodgers that's coming into Lambeau Field. I would also like to point out that just because Tom Brady has played in the cold before doesn't mean the entire Tampa Bay Buccaneers have experience playing in the cold. So give me the Packers because of Aaron Rodgers' confidence and the home field.
You know what's also interesting about Aaron Rodgers this year for me? He's become a lot more likable. Mike,
I would agree.
There was an edge
the
last
down
few
the
years.
Douchiness.
Yeah, but maybe, okay, look, he breaks up with Danica Patrick. Not saying that was an issue, but that was... That was obviously, that didn't work out. And that was distracting for him. So maybe he dumped a little baggage there. He's done a lot of great work for Barstool Sports and donated a lot of money to their fund. And I've watched him do some live interviews with people and giving money to businesses and small businesses in need. He hasn't really complained all year. Of course, it's been nice, but not full of a ton of excuses. Just, he's been kind of relaxed. And like you said, he doesn't feel like there's any pressure.
And for whatever reason, the stuff he does say this year just isn't getting traction, because he's gone on like a, what's it, old punter. What was his name? Pat McAfee.
Pat.
He goes on the Pat it's McAfee show on Sirius XM. Yeah,
it's good stuff.
But he goes on all the time, and he'll just like throw out his random and ridiculous stuff that usually is bulletin board material, but for whatever reason, nobody's picking it up
right
this year.
And we make fun of Baker Mayfield and all his commercials. What about State Farm?
Hey, I am
like, Discount Double Check is now like, hey, where's the Aaron Rodgers rate?
I've liked Aaron Rodgers, but his comments just aren't getting as much traction. I don't know. I like it, though. I like the pack.
It's probably because they're winning.
I can't believe I'm picking against Tom Brady in a playoff game, though.
You know, there was something said this morning by Mr. Keyshawn Johnson of Keyshawn J. Will and Zub. This morning he said, all Patriot fans should hate Tom Brady. They don't want to see him do anything. They don't want him to win. They want you dumped us. We made you. This is his quote. We made you. We pulled you off the scrap heap. We don't want you to win anything. Is there another? No, I know we have a resident Patriot fan in here.
No, that's not correct.
Well, correct for you, but is there other Patriot fans out there that are in
sure
shouting distance that are that slighted? I'm on the lines of, I want to see him do well.
No, there's
a lot, dude. It's Boston sports fans.
We
they're spiteful.
Boston.
Mike from The Buzz. He's from Boston. Big Pats fan. Loves Tom Brady. We still love Tom. 20 years. That was a 20-year marriage, man.
My heart, Tom.
Still love him. Tommy. All right, AFC Championship game. Patty Mahomes practiced yesterday. No way. He is on track to play. He is still in the protocol, but he's at least to stage 3 of the 5-step program because
is that the part where he apologizes for getting hurt and running the option?
Is this grief?
What's that saying? You apologize for running the option.
No, that is Airbnb.
I'd like to tell everybody we're not going to run the option anymore. It was my fault.
Yeah.
Not going to check to it.
Are 3-point favorites at home against the Buffalo Bills. Wow. 3-point faves.
Yeah, because it's a championship game. Remember last year, the Chiefs got a little lackadaisical to start, didn't they? Going down 24-0.
Every single playoff game last year, they did that.
They went, you know what? We're not challenged enough. We'd like to go down a few points to, well, not just Tennessee, but
Houston.
Houston also.
Bill O'Brien ran a damn fake punt.
Right. Right. And it was over. It was over. I think from start to finish, the Chiefs take a handle of this game, and it will depend on how successful Patrick Mahomes can play outside the pocket. If his toe is an issue, like everybody is saying, and he doesn't shoot it up and just go with it, I'm not worried about the head and neck and the concussion stuff. That's not the concern. The concern is more on the physical side of can he be flexible moving in and out. But it won't change the fact that if you get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back successfully, and you have Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield, and you have two of the best wide receivers, and you have the best receiving tight end in all of football, there's no way you can stop this team.
Boy, that was Le'Veon Bell hadn't done a whole lot of anything there.
Well, no, he's just a piece. He's just a piece.
Well, you would think he'd be a bigger piece even with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Doesn't always work.
Tyreek Hill had more rushing yards than he did.
Thought the same thing, too, though, about Kareem Hunt and Cleveland, and it's all been Nick Chubb. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Kareem Hunt's done some cool stuff, but it's been more Nick Chubb.
Well, last week, it was a guy named Darrell Williams. It wasn't even Damian Williams who did it. It was a different Williams who was the workhorse back. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs in this one. I think Buffalo's going to give him hell. No, I just said I'm going with Kansas City. I'm not going to go against Buffalo. I'm going to ride the good thing. I'm going to ride the hot team. I want to see Buffalo win. I know my mind is telling me to go with Kansas City. I'm going to trust my gut. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. Despite the fact they can't run the ball, I'm going to go with the hot team. And I think their defense might be finding a little something, right? Sure. You have a corner on the outside who hopefully can, you're not going to eliminate Tyreek Hill, but slow him down just enough. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I did not feel confident in that at all.
So listen to that conviction.
By the way,
you saw it play out right in front of me. It was a roller coaster of emotions I was going through.
BTW, I didn't give you my pick, so
I thought you said Kansas City.
No, I said it would need to be Kansas City if they played well. But my full-on investment is, I don't think the Bills are ready. And personally, selfishly, I don't want to see the Bills in the Super Bowl. I don't think they're ready. They're almost there. They're just not quite ready yet. I want to see history, which is back-to-back titles. I want to see something unique against gunslinger on gunslinger. And I like Josh Allen. I just don't think they're ready yet. I think it's going to be the Chiefs and the Packers.
I just want to see the Mafia happy.
I second Cam in that I do want to see Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers.
That'd be fun.
The one thing that those two guys have in common is that gunslinger mentality and this ability to just look like throwing is so easy. Well, it's almost like walking for those guys. It just looks so easy out there. I want to see those dual threat guys go at it in the Super Bowl. I would rather not watch Josh Allen stumble through a Super Bowl game.
I
don't think he's ready for that.
Yeah, really? Are you just saying it because it's the upstart? Are you honestly thinking that you would rather watch Josh Allen than Patrick Mahomes?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I didn't know. You sounded serious. You picked Buffalo, though.
I know.
Why? Why would you pick Buffalo?
I just told you. I want to see the Bills Mafia happy.
You want to see a bunch of crazies jumping off tables from Buffalo?
Yes, I do.
What's wrong with you?
Yes, I do.
Dusty has an affinity
for these upstarts. It's like, I ain't going to get it.
Not from just upstarts.
All the hard workers. Let's give them a shot. No, I want stars.
Don't tell me upstate New York. Just trashy people I have a affinity for.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where Buffalo is.
Trashy people? There's some good people that look at you shaming Buffalo.
It's pretty easy. They jump on tables.
Were you listening to what Will Darkins just said?
No. You said you have an affinity for trashy people. Where did what?
Will, okay. Again, if you listen, Will Darkin said, I have an affinity for trashy people from upstate New York. And I'm saying, no, it's not from just upstate New York. It's just trashy people I have an affinity
Shockingly, Buffalo is not upstate. It is east.
What's up?
What's up, isn't it?
So, considered upstate New York. All right.
That would be the Hamptons.
The Hamptons are?
Okay.
So we got two Kansas Cities, one Buffalo, and then everybody clean sweep Green Bay Packers, huh? A Green Bay Kansas City Super Bowl would be State Farm's greatest dream.
It'd be spectacular.
Jake would be front and center in that. Mm-hmm. He'd have to be at the coin toss.
They've already shot a commercial.
It's already prepped and ready to go.
That is the Pro Football Challenge brought to you by our friends at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone for something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com. Larry Scott, he gone. What's the first thing you would change if you were the Pac-12 commish? The number one priority. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
503-250-1080. You have one priority that you need to take care of first if you are replacing Larry Scott. What is it? 503-250-1080. I found it interesting. Kyle Bondagura of ESPN, his number one was playoff expansion. He said you fight to expand the playoff because that one gets you a seat at the table and two gets you more money. That was an interesting one.
I think that's a fight that you're going in with both hands tied behind your back. You can't win that fight at all.
Why?
Ever. You're just not going to win that fight. You have no
leverage to expand the playoff.
Yeah, you have no leverage.
Well, I think that
if zero leverage, you can come in and say you want to do something.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to take that on, you have to showcase to the rest of the country, the rest of the other conferences, that you're going to do whatever it takes to get into the playoffs. So if I'm going to fight that fight, you can say, I want in. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, we're moving to 8 conference games, and we're going to showcase our top talent with our championship game at a certain spot. So we're going to make it easier for our team to get in. That's what you're going to have to do to start. You're going to have to completely tear up how you schedule and start making it more competitive, just like what the rest of the conferences do.
Yeah, go eight games.
Yep, eight conference games.
Yep. We're not guaranteeing you guys a game down in Southern California. Absolutely. Sorry, California schools, you don't get to play each other every year.
Deal with it.
We're going to do a normal schedule like every other conference. We're going to go eight games. And
three,
who cares?
Three non-conference, eight games, and then the Pac-12 championship game is your 12th year bowl game. Just deal with it.
503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. We want to hear from you. What would your number one priority be?
Not so much a priority, but I have seen this on the text line like three or four times this morning. The potential new commissioners. People keep mentioning Chris Peterson.
Boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's very well respected in the football world.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with the conference commissioners that he has to deal with the ADs and other commissioners across. And that's like your administrative role. Like, could Chris Peterson be a great face for out West? Oh, absolutely.
He's pretty strong. He's brash. He believes in his way.
But you got to deal with university presidents. Yeah.
He was burned out, guys. He was physically and emotionally burned out, wanted to be with his family, wanted to do those things. Taking on this job, you want to think about this is even harder than being a head coach because now you're operating 12 schools.
And you have to be a big swing and D in meetings with television executives.
And you have to be flexible.
Who do not care you are a very successful football coach.
Exactly. You have to be in the business room with them and be able to talk about technology and upgradings and all. And not that he can't. I'm not to say that he couldn't do it, but it's personality-wise, yeah.
A lot of people also just saying, just get games on TV, please. And we do know that there is a Pac-12 network, but I think, Dusty, you had said earlier that it is easier to watch Pac-12 games in other countries than it is here as a general public in the United States. So many people just saying, can I easily watch a Pac-12 game, please?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to
turn on ESPN and just watch a game during the day?
Yeah. Wherever you may be.
And imagine being an East Coast guy and being interested in a player that is, let's say, comparably good as Marcus Mariota, right? Like a Heisman candidate. Yeah. And he gets placed on a Pac-12 After Dark game. Like, what does that do for the national stature of the conference?
That's the other thing is, Will, I think I said that earlier. You can't even care about it anymore.
Yeah.
You can't even value it as important to say what New York or what Florida thinks of Pac-12 football. It's you're a laughing stock. So just do a really good job of marketing to the to your farm here.
I will give credit to the Pac-12 this past year where they obviously hitched their wagons to Oregon and USC early in the season and said these are our hopes for football. Neither one of those teams played a 7:30 kick, did they? I know Oregon didn't.
When? So, you mean in general?
No, they didn't this past year. I'll give them credit for that. They said they were going to make an effort to keep their big brands on in good TV windows, and they did. Yeah. I thought they did a very good job.
Didn't SC play at 7:30?
They played at 9. I know that.
SC played a 9 kick because I remember. Actually, that was
9
a.m.
It was the first
game. That was the very first game. Arizona State. State.
Yeah. And, I think that was to appease the prime TV window. Though they didn't put him after dark.
Well, and I think too, you're kind of pointing towards like your bigger brands too, right? Like that's the other big question that you have as the Pac-12 conference that you need somebody to come in and determine really who are your biggest brands? Because there's kind of a confusion among the conference itself saying, well, you know, Nike is the university of, or I'm sorry, Oregon is the university of Nike.
Freudian slip.
I know, right? Oregon or USC, you know, had their prominence back in the 2000s. And so there's kind of this ambiguity of who is the conference leader at this point.
Well, you want to look at it from just being like realistic?
A marketing standpoint, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's US, I don't know if you want to put it in this order. In this order right now, it's Oregon. It's USC and then it's Washington. That would be the order that I would put it in prominence right now with most valuable, most marketable, if you're looking at it that way.
And here's the problem that the conference has. After that, you fall off of a cliff. You fall off of a massive cliff. But, I mean, other conferences don't care about that either, though. That's not unique to the Pac-12. I mean, SEC is Bama, LSU, Florida, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then there's a cliff that you fall off of. And you go down into the abyss. The Big Ten is
Texas A&M.
Is Ohio State, and then Michigan, and then everybody else as far as branding goes. Despite Wisconsin being a better program, that's it. Big 12 is only Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah. Well, there's some other things. Yeah, but you're right. The biggest, oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the, yeah. And that's not unique to the Pac-12 at all, but having those teams be propped up and dominant is important. And those conferences do that way better than the Pac-12 does, for sure.
Well, of course they do. If you got to take care of your top brands and can't box around it and try to say, oh, they're not really that important, we're kind of equals. No, you just have to.
Yep.
You just have to. And then those out here have to be okay with it. And that's going to be the biggest struggles. The ones that are chipping, that are, how influential are they? Because if you stand up in front of Olympic sports people, they want to be told that they're important. They are. I've said that before. There are. Mm-hmm. But you're not valuable financially. You can't say that. That's not leverage in a negotiation. Is like, well, we can give you soccer and swimming and lacrosse, and we can give you some gymnastics things. And I'm not saying that they're not important. They're, of course, they're important to all those universities, but they're not valuable in a negotiation. And so you have to use leverage.
Right now, the Pac-12, with all of the Olympic sports, I mean, they have a kick-ass backyard, and it's awesome. It's well manicured. It is to the nines, landscaped. The front yard, which is basketball and football, you got weeds. It's overgrown. It's run down. The concrete is cracking.
Broken down cars on some stilts.
Right. But the backyard's kick-ass.
Yeah, the backyard looks nice.
It is. It's very nice. It's nice. Out back. Yeah. Front yard, not so much. And I think that's what you and I both had this as our number one priority, is we did it in roundabout ways, but cut wasteful spending.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be number one.
Streamline it.
Yep. Cut it all down and then tell everybody what's important to your conference. And what should be important is your football and your basketball, because they can fund everything else with their success. Boom. Conference commissioners and who, some names to keep an eye out on. We'll have that as the show goes on. But coming up next, let's talk NFL Championship Weekend with Lindsay Jones. She covers the NFL for The Athletic and will join us after Will with SportsCenter. All right, it is Championship Weekend in the National Football League AFC NFC Championship games on tap. For a preview of the weekend and the landscape of the NFL right now, we head to the phone lines. She covers the NFL for The Athletic, Lindsay Jones. You can find her on Twitter at @ByLindsayHJones. Good morning, Lindsay. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very well.
Living the dream.
We're all eyes are on Patrick Mahomes right now and his kind of path through the protocols right now. Your sense, your feeling about it, is it the same as ours? We will see Patrick Mahomes on Sunday? Uh-oh. Phone gone. You hung up on her, Will.
Technology. Technology.
Technology.
Technology. Producer skills. Technology.
Aaron,
and she's back.
Andy Reid cutting the phone lines because he didn't want.
He didn't want us to know. He was the listener.
He didn't want Lindsay talking about
she's the insider.
Patrick Mahomes and when he plays and what stage of the protocols he is in.
Well, these are the things that when we bring guests on, we don't go shallow here. We're bringing on the insiders that know. Every coach is on he's listening. Mm-hmm. They know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know.
That's what I'm talking about.
How often do you think those guys are really truly paying attention?
Come
on, be realistic, because when I play, I didn't listen to anything. Nothing ever. I didn't watch SportsCenter. I didn't watch anything.
I wonder how much of it has transitioned from.
I didn't have burner accounts.
Listening or watching TV to just perusing Twitter, like Dame and going after Aaron Fentress.
That was,
you know.
Yeah, you start Bugs Bunnying it around. It happens.
Yeah, I think it's more on social media now.
Yeah, that could be true.
Okay, Lindsay, I think that Andy Reid.
I'm so sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Oh, it's Will's fault. We're going to blame our producer. Okay.
I'm blaming Andy Reid. I think he didn't want you to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But is your sense the same as ours? We will be seeing Patrick Mahomes come Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, on last Sunday and certainly into Monday, you know, it would have been, I would not want to have speculated at that point. But we're here now. We saw him on the practice field yesterday. It was basically a walkthrough. So it wasn't a real practice for anybody. Nobody was wearing helmets for that practice. But the fact that he was even out there and through the steps of the process that allowed him to do, you know, light passing and going through some football specific drills in a walkthrough setting, that indicated to me, with my pretty close reading of the concussion protocols and people I've been talking to, that, you know, he's progressing at a pretty rapid pace. through these protocols. Today's designation will be, you know, will be pretty telling because, you know, Andy Reid said Thursday is like their heavy practice. I mean, they'll all be in helmets and, you know, it's like a real high speed kind of practice. You know, obviously the quarterbacks never go through any contact in a practice, but if he's able to even be limited in today's practice, that's a pretty good indication that by Sunday he should be all the way through the protocol. I mean, we do have to understand that, you know, with any sort of head injury, neurological issue, you know, that can change, you know, symptoms can come and go, but he has been progressing kind of in the way that they are hoping that he would.
You know, Lindsay, I was reading your article regarding to the kind of predictions. I wanted to jump to the Packers and the Bucks, and you made a good quote because I like a little bit of an edgy quote, and it said, important storylines, I can't remember. We're on the radio. A peed off Aaron Rodgers. Okay. He loses on the road to Tampa Bay. I want to say it's Tampa because it sounds fun. You really buy into the fact that maybe this Jordan Love and the fact that he's going to go into this game with more edge because of that anger or that frustration? Does he have more to prove than Tom Brady?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's how pissed off he is. Oops, sorry, well, I just said it.
That's okay. It's good. I like it.
He is now still about the Jordan Love stuff. I think it did fuel him going into this season. I think now he played his worst game of the season against the Bucs back in week 6. He threw two interceptions in that game, didn't have a passing touchdown. You know, it's really going to be kind of the one bad game on his MVP season because, you know, it would be very surprising at this point if he is not the MVP when that's announced the night before the Super Bowl. So, you know, I think that is, you know, that is something like they want redemption. I don't think it's just him with that Packers team, you know, on the Packers. I think that's that entire offense. One of those interceptions went right off of Devontae Adams' hands. You know, that's been very uncharacteristic for him this year. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of just, you know, we can play better. And I think the Packers are not the team that they showed during that game in week 6. I think they're better than that. And I also think that the Bucs are significantly different team now than they were back in week 6, which makes this, I think, the best NFC Championship matchup. I mean, I think along the way, you could have thought, you know, okay, maybe Packers-Seahawks could have been really interesting. You know, I think there was a lot of intriguing stuff about the Saints defense, how they would match up with the Packers. But I think ultimately, despite the fact that the Bucs were the 5 seed, I think this really is a matchup of the two best teams in the NFC.
You know, and obviously you have Aaron Rodgers and you have Tom Brady, and these two guys are legendary quarterbacks, and they should get the top billing and all of the hype. But are we vastly underrating both of these defenses that we're going to see in the NFC Championship game? I mean, it seems like we're just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's Brady versus Rodgers when you have one of the top defenses in the league in Tampa Bay. And when it matters, it seems like Green Bay is stepping up at the pivotal times and in those big moments.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a couple lulls for the Packers defense this season. You know, the game that they lost to the Vikings was really troubling because they just got run all over, and that was really what happened to them last year in the NFC Championship game. But they have played well over the last, you know, month or two of the season. They haven't had any issues in the postseason so far. Obviously, they pretty easily handled the Rams offense last week. You know, their pass rush is hit or miss. You know, I think there's some games where it really shows up, and then there's some games where you just wonder, they spend all this money on these pass rushers, and why are they not consistently getting home? But, you know, whenever you do have these kind of iconic quarterback duels, ultimately what's going to decide is whose defense is better and who's going to do a better job of stopping one of these best quarterbacks and these really good offenses. And, you know, the Bucs made a massive statement with their defense last week, and they were so aggressive. They were not afraid coming into play a Saints team that already beaten them twice, including beating them, I think it was 38-3 in the previous time that they met. But they went in, they brought a lot of pressure. Their cornerbacks played really well. You know, they're young, kind of like unknown quarterbacks. You know, they've got some really, really young DBs. Devin White was just a complete monster. And it'll be really interesting to watch how some of those guys match up against Rodgers. And they're not going to be able to attack Rodgers the same way that you did Drew Brees, because Rodgers is going to throw the ball down the field. Rodgers is going to use his legs a lot. So the Packers can do a lot more things on offense than the Saints could. I mean, the Saints were just so offensively limited. Their passing game was so limited. And when you're able to take away, you know, their top receiver, like they did with Michael Thomas, they really just didn't have any options. But yeah, I mean, I just think there's so many interesting schematic storylines here, a lot of narrative storylines that, you know, this is going to be a really, really fun game to watch, I think.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned about using their legs. I don't think there's anybody that thinks that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are going to run for 100 yards. But being able to extend plays, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But speaking
Rodgers is so dangerous when he moves, absolutely, he moves the pocket and throwing on the run. Yeah.
No question. He's the best off-script quarterback left. I mean, he might be the best ever. But we're talking about guys that use their legs. Come on, undervaluing Buffalo a little bit. Is that going into this game, you shut down Lamar Jackson. You found great defense. Is there a little bit of an undervalue of what Buffalo can do physically? Because you can look at the Chiefs and say maybe not as interested heading into, you know, the offensive production wasn't as dominating towards the end of the season. That was kind of an underwhelming win to be – and I get it. Patrick Mahomes goes down. But is there an undervalue of what Buffalo can do defensively going up against Mahomes?
Yeah, I think so. Because they don't have any superstars on their defense. And I think that is part of it. I mean, it's not like, you know, you don't have, you know, player of the year candidates. You don't have an Aaron Donald or a Jalen Ramsey or even like a Jair Alexander or, you know, a Shaq Barrett like you do in Tampa, you know, who was the sack leader just a year ago. They don't have any of those kind of jump off the page defensive players. But what they have been doing is they've been playing really disciplined, really smart. You can tell they're really well coached. And they just have like some really quality depth in their front seven. So, yeah, I mean, I think maybe there is some undervalue there. And if Mahomes is limited at all, I mean, the one thing that we haven't talked, I mean, so much of the focus has been on the concussion protocol. He also has a toe injury. And he was clearly hampered in the first half of that game against Cleveland last week before he ended up having to go out with a head injury. And they're listing him on the injury report with that. If his mobility is hampered, you know, look, he's the same way as, you know, Rodgers and Brady. Well, probably more in the category of Rodgers, where he's never going to be, you know, Lamar Jackson and rushing for 100 yards a game. But he's so accurate and so effective when you get him outside the pocket. And the Chiefs have really this year, more than the previous 2 years, really exploited that. And that's been kind of the new wrinkle to this offense this year, has been finding ways to get him on the move and having him throwing on the run. And if he's not able to do that because his toe is bothering him or for whatever reason, then that's going to be a really big edge for, I think, the Buffalo defense. But like you mentioned, I mean, I think they're really disciplined, and I think they, you know, probably have a chip on their shoulder coming into this game, given the way that they played against the Chiefs back in week six.
The Athletic's NFL writer, Lindsey Jones, is our guest. You know, outside of championship weekend, the other big story across the NFL is Deshaun Watson and how this marriage is ending in Houston. Where do you think he ends up landing? Because this guy's got a lot of leverage with the no-trade clause.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really wild. I mean, it's been one of the more intriguing storylines over the last couple of years, is really to see how unhappy NFL players have been able to take back some power and kind of force trades and force their way out. But it is pretty rare that a guy can really determine his landing spot, because, you know, not a lot of guys have a no-trade clause where they can really have a say in what's happening. And, you know, I guess Antonio Brown is maybe the one guy where he said he didn't want to go to Buffalo, and that whole trade kind of fell apart because he didn't want to go to Buffalo, which probably a bad decision on his part, given Buffalo's trajectory since then, and really good news for Stephon Diggs. But, you know, it's going to be wild, you know, to see who really wants to engage in this and who is going to make these calls to Nick Caserio and the new, you know, Houston Texans regime about saying, sure, we're willing to give up 3 first-round draft picks and potentially other players or pieces, because that's a lot of capital, but that's what it's going to take. I don't think it starts for anything less than three first-round draft picks. You know, there's some intriguing places where you look at, okay, the Jets are going to have that sort of capital. They have the draft capital to trade, plus they really need that kind of guy, so they could be interesting. You know, all of a sudden the Colts have a massive need for a quarterback. It's not in Chris Ballard's DNA to trade 3 first-round draft picks. He did trade a first last year for DeForest Buckner, and that was a major move. So I don't know if they exactly have the capital that they could pull it off, but they clearly have a massive need at quarterback. The 49ers are really intriguing because of just, I don't think they're thrilled with Jimmy Garoppolo long term. You know, they're not tied to Jimmy Garoppolo long term. And it's just really intriguing to, like, what could Deshaun Watson look like in a functional offense with a quarterback-friendly offense? So those are a couple of places. And then I live in Denver, and people in Denver are going crazy trying to think of if the Broncos could try to trade for Deshaun Watson. I would say the Drew Lock honeymoon is very clearly over, and it's inspiring a lot of hours of sports talk radio here to get them through the offseason.
Be a good fit.
It would be. Lindsay Jones, you can find her on Twitter at by Lindsay H. Jones, and her work, as always, at The Athletic, NFL writer. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks,
it was great
Lindsay.
Talking to you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Lindsay Jones. Look, that is a really interesting part. Are we overlooking these defenses a ton in the AFC
I think
and NFC championship
not really.
Games? Because they're not getting any of the buzz
I don't think
about
so.
This thing.
Well, because defense isn't sexy. Because
you
know that. But last year, the theme was the run game. The teams that ran the ball efficiently made it all the way through. San Francisco, Tennessee made great runs. And, of course, you're watching Kansas City in that movement. This year, it is a little bit more about the defense. Because offense, everybody wants to talk about it. Weapons, weapons, weapons. Defense still finds a way to get you there.
Faux show. All right, get you set for the day on The Fan as the Larry Scott news means we got a lot of guests and a lot of insight coming up throughout the course of the day right here on 1080 The Fan. Note from the NBA, the Blazers game tomorrow against Memphis also canceled.
I wanted to watch Ja. Dang it.
Well, good news. You want the good news? I got two doses of good news. One, you'll be able to watch Ja versus the Blazers in the back half of the season because that is when it will be rescheduled.
Okay.
You want other good news?
Sure.
These two games that have been canceled are two less games without CJ McCollum. So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Whipped cream on you, but yeah.
Whipped cream on what? You're not going to lose him because he ain't going to play. And you're not going to play the games. So
you tried to pass those off as good news?
Yeah. The game will be played in the back half, so that's good.
More rest.
Dusty's rare moment of optimism.
Yeah. I got optimism.
Sure. Yeah, worked.
And you have CJ. You'll have him back for those games, hopefully, at the end of the year. So, golf clap that.
All right.
I'll golf clap that.
Okay.
And how about more good news? Larry Scott will no longer be the commissioner of the Pac-12 as of July 1. That's good news.
Well, I wish Larry, honestly, I wish Larry Scott nothing but success the rest of his life. I think he'll be fine with all that money that he made. Hopefully he finds another path. But as for the Pac-12, it's like the show my mom used to force me to watch back in the 80s. The guiding light has shined from the top and open up the greatest change in Pac-12 history, and it's on its way.
Mm.
You cut the head off the snake. It's time to change. It's time. Let's go.
Let's just hope it's a better hire.
Anything can be better than what it was. If you're dead last, anything is better.
Well, what if the Mountain West passes you?
It already has.
Oh, come on. No.
All right.
You think so? You think it's that bad?
No, not anymore because Larry Scott's not anymore. So no. It's great. It's good. It's good.
All right.
Good.
It'll be a football Friday. We'll talk a lot about the AFC NFC championship games tomorrow, plus our weekend. Would you rather? Up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd from 9 to noon. Noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague. They'll be joined by John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, to discuss the departure of Larry Scott. And then primetime with Isaac and Souk from 3 to 7 p.m. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.